Thank you, Brian. This week, the Canadian Centre on Substance Use and Addiction released their advice on alcohol, and they're recommending that if you have 2 drinks or less per week, you are likely to avoid alcohol-related consequences. Basically, they advise that zero alcohol is the only way to avoid risk. So the question we're asking is, should we follow suit here? Well, I'm joined on the line by Dr. John Ryan, a consultant hepatologist at Beaumont Hospital in Dublin. Dr. Ryan, thank you for joining us this morning.
Hi, Claire. Pleasure to be there.
So as a liver specialist, do you agree with Canada's advice that the only safe limit for alcohol consumption is to just abstain?
I think that these guidelines reflect that there's no safe limit for drinking alcohol. And, you know, more recent studies since we revised our recommendations have shown that there is no safe limit. And maybe that's what they reflect. They seem very stark and severe, but that is kind of where they're coming from, I think.
So do you think it would be a good idea to do that here in the hope that people would examine every drink that they're taking in the week or on the day?
Yeah, I mean, you know, two standard drinks or two units might be a pint, you know, or a large glass of wine. So you get through that very, very quickly, you know. And I think it's probably a good reason that we're debating it and we're highlighting our relationship with alcohol individually and thinking to ourselves maybe how best we might be able to cut down a drink less harmfully or in any type of safer way.
John, you will have people listening to this who are looking forward to having maybe 2 drinks on a Friday night. That might be it for the week. Are we saying to them, or are we suggesting that we say to them that that's just too much?
Well, I think that, you know, as I said in an article today, that, you know, for an Irish audience, it's kind of a hard concept to digest that, you know, that would be it. But I think what it's, again, saying that there is no safe limit, I think that, you know, the Irish guidelines or low-risk drinking guidelines would suggest 11 units for a woman and 17 for a man, which is, you know, about a bottle of wine a week for a woman and a bottle of wine and a half for, a week for a man, something like that. And I think that, you know, just looking at ourselves and saying, well, how best can we drink and how, if we are going to drink, how we might be able to reduce it, particularly during January. You know, a dry January or having a month off can make a massive difference to your health.
Can it?
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, from a liver side, all your scores or scans or any indicators of liver damage can really reverse significantly during, you know, a decent period of absence like a month.
The article you're talking about is Mary McCarthy's common piece in The Independent, I think, and she explains pouring a glass of wine, measuring it, it's 175 millilitres that she poured, and then realising when she checked that that was 1.6 units. So particularly for people who are drinking at home, you mightn't really know how many units you're taking.
Well, that's exactly it. You know, home port measures are so different to, you know, if you're out. And it's very hard then to gauge, and there's, you know, potentially, depending on how much drink is in the house, there's no way to turn it off, or it's difficult. So, you know, these are just realities that we need to be aware of. Mm-hmm. But the units add up very quickly, yeah.
You know, when you said there that the advice at the moment is 11 units for women, you said 17 for men, a bottle of wine for a woman, that equates to a bottle and a half for a man. Is that way too much?
Well, I mean, in the UK, it's slightly different. You know, it's even less for a man. And in America, it might be more, you know. So, and then in Canada now, it's even less. So it's really to say that there's no exact figure, you know. And the more you drink, the higher it goes. And then if you get into the higher brackets, it kind of, the rate of harm or damage increases exponentially. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, I would see people who drink 100 to 200 units of alcohol a week at least. And, you know, I think when I tell people, certainly when you get into the 30 units a week for a woman or 50 units a week for a man, you're really going to start seeing big problems coming down the line.
What does that look like?
The problems?
Yes.
I mean, you know, from my point of view, I'd see liver scarring or liver damage, which then develops into cirrhosis. And, you know, everyone knows that the liver is forgiving and will reverse, but there will be a point where it won't reverse, and then you have irreversible liver damage. And at that point, you know, well, abstinence obviously is the only option to keep you from developing liver failure and all the other consequences. But alcohol affects everything. I mean, you know, your mental health and many other parts of your body.
But I would imagine if you're drinking upwards of 30, and as you said, there are 100 to 200 units in some cases, that abstaining is very difficult once you're at that point.
Yeah, I think that I would see people who've got into the habit, particularly with COVID, of drinking every day, you know, coming home, cracking open a bottle of wine, and that can quickly add up to 70 units a week, and inadvertently, you know, developing harm from it. And it's something where maybe they come and see me and say, oh, geez, I never realised what I was doing, and it seemed fine because I could function fine, you know. And then that's the kind of thing where that realisation can actually lead to abstinence or just cutting down into much less harmful drinking. When you're drinking at the level of 200 units a week, yes, of course, then it's very difficult to give it up, but it is achievable with the right supports and the right approach. Like Mick was saying there earlier about obesity, I mean, it's very different. It's not a judgmental approach that works. It's a supportive one that understands the background to why someone might be drinking so much, and then linking them to the support that actually exists that will be effective for them.
You mentioned a change in habits over the COVID periods. What changes are you seeing in terms of who's presenting to you?
Yeah, I mean, COVID, I had said before, was a perfect storm for, you know, alcohol-related harm. And certainly during the first wave, it really, as you know, people were off work and at home, and there was no kind of night and day or weekday and weekend. People were drinking a lot. And, people who were already drinking a lot then drank more. And so we saw that, and we saw the patterns were that there was a lot more presentations to the emergency department with particularly mental health problems related to alcohol, and particularly women were affected in greater volume than men. And that was in the emergency department, in the intensive care with severe alcohol-related harms. It all seemed to increase, particularly for women.
Why do you think that is?
Well, I mean, it just shows how fragile women are, perhaps to high levels of alcohol. I guess that's what we're looking into. That is definitely a question that needs to be addressed.
So if you're somebody who is female and is looking forward every day to a couple of glasses of wine, you're saying the ramifications of that are going to be problematic for your health, most likely problematic for your health?
Yeah, absolutely. There's no doubt about it. I mean, I think that when you look at, well, how can you, how can you improve that or reduce the harm, you could think of definitely having days in the week where you don't drink, alcohol-free days. You need to give your body a breather, and you say, okay, at least 3 or 4 days in the week where you don't drink any alcohol, and you say, okay, Sunday to Thursday, or when you're working, I don't drink anything. That's a start. And when you do drink, that you eat, because people who just consume alcohol on its own and tipping away, without any food in your system, it isn't buffered, and it all just floods into your liver and your body, and that can cause more harm. And then if you are drinking, you're drinking things with lower volume percentage of alcohol, such as lower strength beers or lower strength wine or whatever it is, that have a less impact. There are definitely methods that you can use to kind of reduce the harm. Yeah.
Knowing what you do and seeing what you see every day, do you drink alcohol?
Yeah, I mean, in Ireland, people say that, do you drink alcohol? And I think that is relevant in some way that I can, understand where people are coming from and see, as an Irish person, on the same level of people knowing about other people who have alcohol problems and trying to understand that. So, yeah, it's important to know that. But, I mean, you would be shocked by the things that I see on a daily basis that affect people of all ages and the harms that they've had from extreme levels of alcohol as well. So,
can you tell us a little bit about that? What you do see, what it looks like, the age groups?
Yeah, I mean, it's I would have people dying in their 30s from alcohol-related liver disease, in tragic fashion. And, that is the reality. I would see people in their 20s with, advanced liver disease like cirrhosis from alcohol. And, they would have been drinking a lot for a long time. Well, for their lives, but I would see alcohol in any age group, in any gender, causing severe liver damage and disease. And I mean, the problem is when you have liver failure, it's not a pleasant experience. And having, severe gastrointestinal hemorrhage it's a terrifying experience for people. But that is what can happen. I'm not trying to cause alarm or
no, but it's good. It's good to know what you're dealing with at the sharp end of it. Like, but what happens to your liver when you taking a drink every day or taking too many drinks every day?
Yeah, I mean, say if you over Christmas and you're drinking, you know, every day or during a period, people can start to feel a bit of pain around the liver in the right upper area of their abdomen, and that's because the liver can swell and it fills with fat. Because of alcohol, that can cause inflammation, and that can kind of make it tender, and then over time it'll start to scar and shrink, and ultimately develop cirrhosis and all the complications of liver failure, like liver cancer and bleeding and things like that. So it's a progressive thing over many years. It doesn't happen overnight.
And if you have cirrhosis, will stopping drinking improve the situation?
Yeah, I mean, there's different grades of cirrhosis, like the different grades of everything. So I would tell patients if they gave up, you know, even if they have been diagnosed with cirrhosis, if they were completely abstinent, they can lead long, long lives, you know. And then, you know, if it's diagnosed at a stage where it's too far gone and there is no ability to reverse despite being abstinent, then at least you could have access to a liver transplant or something that might then again extend your life long, you know.
Mm-hmm. I know you're in contact with colleagues right around the world and you've worked in different areas too. Do you think that as a society we understand what we're doing when we're taking the nightly glass of wine?
Well, I think Ireland does have a particular relationship with alcohol, and that's why the Canadian guidelines, people would balk at that kind of thing. And I think that the more I'm involved with alcohol, I've realised the strength of the alcohol industry and how ingrained it is in our society and the mentality about alcohol. You know, I remember donating blood and being offered a can of Guinness after that. And, you know, people saying, oh, well, there's iron in Guinness, doctor, so I drink a Guinness every day. And there's no iron in that. You know, maybe I shouldn't be naming brands. But, you know, we've been subject to kind of a lot of influence in our lives. And I think that that's something that, you know, we just need to be aware of.
So to circle back to the start, do you think that we should follow Canada's, let's call it what it is, a zero alcohol policy approach?
I think in Ireland, you know, as I said, it would be difficult for Irish people to digest that as such, but I think at least it opens the debate about, you know, what are we doing? Do we need to be drinking at the levels we're at? And I see so much harm related to it. You know, over 8% of the annual budget, healthcare budget, is spent on alcohol-related admissions, and that doesn't even cover all the other harms that come from alcohol. So, you know, I think we just need to be very aware of our drinking and how perhaps, if we are drinking harmfully, how we can limit it.
Really interesting to talk to you. Dr. John Ryan, pleasure. Consultant hepatologist at Beaumont Hospital. Dave Fanning will be here next.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.